It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath. God bless you this morning. We want to thank God for waking us up this morning, giving us a new day. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. And it tells us this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this morning. We thank you for the Sabbath hours. We thank you for allowing us to come and open the Bible, studying your word. We ask for a tremendous blessing so that we might rightly represent you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
we continue our study of Daniel 11. We will be discussing Daniel 11, verse 18. Now, I know that my title would be controversial, My title is, I forgot exactly how I wrote it on Facebook, but it's called A Republican Dictatorship. Republican Dictatorship. And you might be thinking I'm talking about Donald Trump, but I'm not talking about Donald Trump. We're in Daniel 11. We're going to continue reading the word, though we can learn lessons from history. Amen. Let's pray. Father, bless us as we discuss our topic today. We thank you very much for the love you have for us and for teaching us your will and your way. Bless us, Lord, that we will be faithful and teach us the things that we need to know in the Word of God. Help us to dig deep and to uncover the treasures needed for our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're discussing verse 18, and I'll read the verse, and then we'll go back and get some context. It says, after this he shall turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Okay? So what does that mean? Well, go back a few verses, brothers and sisters. If you'll remember, we were in verse 14, and the Bible says, and in those days there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also, the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. At this time, we're looking at some of the last days of the Greek Empire, as the Syrians, the kings of the north, would fight the kings of the south, which were the Egyptians, but they're all Greek people. Remember, we had learned that Alexander the Great died at a very young age, I think of 32, and that his four generals took over, and then eventually Seleucus took the land from the three of them, and so it was pretty much Seleucus versus Ptolemy and all of their ancestry fighting one another. So when it says also the robbers of thy people, because of Greek education, the people of God not following the word of God, that would be the children of Israel at that time, God had allowed them to be overcome by their enemies because of their apostasy. Because of their Greek education and politics and wanting to be involved in competition instead of just humbling themselves before God, a family within the Jews called the Maccabees was raised up, and they basically withstood the advances of Antiochus Epiphanes. Okay, they believed they were fulfilling the vision of Daniel 8:14, and that belief is still today. But they were not, because a day in Bible prophecy is a year, and that would not be fulfilled until 1844. But they did succeed in making a league with Rome, and so that's why we know it wouldn't be fulfilling the vision, because they violated God's principles and made a league with a pagan nation. Okay, that was in 161 BC, and that ended up being their downfall in the times of Pompey 100 years later. Okay, but we're not there yet. So this robbers of the people represents the Maccabean uprisings and their fight against Antiochus Epiphanes to cleanse the sanctuary, supposedly, of the paganism. They did it by force of arms, and they were kind of like considered the heroes. But they pretty much took over Judaism and, in their own way, robbed the people. You know, they said, hey, we've got to have this, we've got to have this, and they just took from the people to raise an army, okay? The robbers of that people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So the Maccabeans ended up falling because Rome came, the ones that they had given league to, and basically took over. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities. So, brothers and sisters, this is referencing, I believe it is moving from Greek to Rome, okay? I can't access my notes for some reason. It's not working right. It's just acting up today. Okay, there you go. Yeah, so this says, my notes say Antiochus Epiphanes versus Ptolemy. So we're still in the Greek Empire. So the king of the north shall come, this is verse 15, and cast up a mount and take most of the fenced cities. And the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But keep in mind, both the Jews and those in the south, they made leagues with Rome. So Rome is on its way to help protect. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his will. So this is the entrance of the Roman Empire. Syria is conquered by Pompey in 65 BC. Judea is, I believe, conquered by Pompey in 63, 2 years later, BC. So basically they were subjugated in 63 BC by Pompey. Okay, that's the Jewish people. So it says in verse 16, but he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. That is now Pompey with Rome. Therefore, Rome is taking over pretty much as the king of the north. That's pagan Rome. And he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall also set his face to enter with strength, with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright. That means the kingdom of Rome. Now we're now in the fourth kingdom, the kingdom of Rome. They pretty much had conquered enough where they were considered ruler of the world, just like Babylon was, just like Medo-Persia was, just like Greece was. Now it's Rome. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, okay, and upright ones with him. Now that phrase, upright ones with him, can be interpreted in the Hebrew to mean with contracts. Rome used a lot of contracts. It wasn't always, they're famous for, yes, they conquered, they're ruthless when they need to be, when they felt they needed to be, but they would often go and just make treaties with other nations. And so people welcomed that, but those treaties ended up being oppressive eventually. And he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. The daughter of women represents God's church, Jeremiah 6:2. For I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman, but she will not be on his side. So she was in league with Rome during the Maccabean uprising, but eventually she hated Rome. That's why when Jesus came on the scene, they were wanting the Messiah to take over and deliver them from the Roman rule. And Jesus came to deliver from sin, you see. Just like our situation today, we're not looking at being delivered from sin. We're looking at being delivered from Trump. We're looking at being delivered from Biden. We're not looking at being delivered from sin. You know, brothers and sisters, I was just contemplating something this morning. You know, when we look at, we're about to go into a new election, I would think that if the founding fathers of our nation could wake up out of their graves and see what we're voting about, they would just have heart attacks and strokes and go right back in their graves. We're voting for pretty much one, we'll see what happens next year, but, and I say we, you, because I'm nonpartisan, brothers and sisters. We vote for issues. We're American, 100% believe, but the point in participating in helping our country or this country, whatever country you're a part of, you're supposed to be a help, a blessing if you can be. But I can't put a man in office. I'm responsible for the sins that man commits. So what are we dealing with today? We're voting on one man who would say that two men can marry each other and that a woman can kill a baby in her womb. That's what one presidential candidate is saying. The other presidential candidate would say that he had nothing to do with an insurrection at the Capitol, even though he told them to go there. That's what you're dealing with. We're not dealing with principles and godly things here. You're dealing with stuff like that, okay? Most people in their voting are voting in their minds to clear their conscience. They're voting for the best of two evils. Okay. And so we clear our conscience because, well, he's not as bad as him, you know. So the one who says two men should marry is not as bad as the one who says we can take over the government in a dictatorship or in an insurrection. That's what we're up against, brothers and sisters. And so I'm here to tell you there are much higher themes to dwell on than that. He shall set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. This is talking about Rome. Thus shall he do and shall give him the daughter of women. That's their basically connection with controlling God's people, but they would not stand on his side. They began to resist that Roman rule. And now we're in verse 18, which is the subject of our talk. We talked about a Republican dictatorship. Now, I want you all to understand a little bit of something. We do not, for those who believe in, and I'm just saying some people believe in it, some people don't. This is not a message to say it's right or wrong. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just simply saying what I'm about to say. It's just something that many do. The Pledge of Allegiance, most are for it, some are against it. The Pledge of Allegiance does not say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the democracy upon which we stand and with which it stands. It says, and unto the republic upon which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have forgotten even the modern politics that our nation was actually a republic. You go to the book of Revelation and you look at the two horns of Revelation 13, in the starting with verse 11, it was two horns like a lamb. These were godly principles. The principle of a republic or republicanism, brothers and sisters, was complete civil freedom. You talk about civil rights, that's where it came from. Okay, it's republicanism. And then the second horn, of course, was Protestantism. That is complete religious freedom. God blessed America because America gave these freedoms to the people, to most of the people. It was said to all people, so what they had to do, they had to say that people who were of color were not fully people. That's what they had to do in their private letters and memoirs and their private secret societies among themselves. They didn't put it in the constitutional document, okay? But that's how they built America on the backs of blacks, okay? And I'm not saying that to rouse any prejudice because the reality is, brothers and sisters, I learned something. All of us are prejudiced. Prejudice means prejudgment. You might not be racially prejudiced. You might be prejudiced about certain people or certain people against people with money, against people who are poor, whether they're white or black. Some people just don't like police officers. There's just a natural prejudice, regardless of the race. All of us can have some prejudice, but God wants us to judge righteous judgment. He wants us to not be prejudiced. He wants us to submit all things to him and let him guide our minds, so that we get rid of all prejudice, prejudgment, you know, wait and look and watch and see what the issue is before you make a judgment call. That's judging righteously, allowing God to lead you. But my point being made, brothers and sisters, is that if you take slavery out of the picture, America gave civil freedoms and religious freedoms to people. And God judged this country. The economic backbone of America was in the South. God cursed the South because they relied on slavery. And now the poorest areas of our country are in the South, brothers and sisters. That's because God cursed the South because of slavery. Now, we're talking about freedoms here. What I want you to understand is, the first nation to really understand the benefit of a Congress, a Senate, a republic, a republican form of government where every individual was a king or a queen and had rights, and no dictatorship could come in and take those rights away. And you had those rights as long as you didn't interfere with the rights of another. That's why in the Bible, they got real scared when they were abusing Paul, and he told them, I'm a Roman citizen. Read that in the book of Acts. They got scared because Romanism was a republic. The rights of an individual that was a citizen of the country were highly esteemed, brothers and sisters. Okay? A dictatorship was considered a reproach in the Roman system because they believed in a government of the people, by the people, okay? Not a dictatorship. So they had different leaders, you know, Pompey and that kind of thing, but that was how it worked. But as it says, after this he shall turn his face unto the isles and shall take many. This taking of many, brothers and sisters, Rome got rich. This phrase in Hebrew about the isles can also, it doesn't have to be an island. It can mean a faraway place, okay? So Rome just prospered and just spread its tentacles everywhere, and they brought back gold and silver and ivory and all kinds of wealth. And prosperity multiplies a mass of professors, a phrase says. As they got all this gold, it just led to corruption in the government. It led to corruption in politics. All of that wealth, it just gloried in the splendor and forgot about the needs of the people. That's what happened in the Roman Empire. And so when it says after this, he shall turn his face to the isles and shall take many, that's talking about the exploits of Rome that brought all the wealth into Rome. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. It got so bad, the corruption got so bad because they were just fighting over the riches and the wealth in high places, politics in high places, that Julius Caesar took over as a dictator and the people welcomed him. Now listen carefully, brothers and sisters. What does it say? It says, what did I say? The people welcomed Julius Caesar as a dictator in a republic where they made dictatorship a reproach, but it got so bad that they welcomed a reproach. So the Bible says, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Now, when you study the history, Julius Caesar then went out to conquer, and in the capital where legislatures had to be decided, he left Mark Antony in his place. And it was very similar to our government where they could make a law, but then the president had to veto. So he put that veto power in Mark Antony. Well, Mark Antony was a protege of Julius Caesar. So he's going to do all he can to protect the interests of Julius Caesar. So basically, as the Senate is making these decisions, which lessen the power of Julius Caesar, Mark Antony, standing in his place, be like the vice president, if the president's gone, he would veto all these things. He would veto all of these things. And it led to a civil war. And eventually, Julius Caesar was assassinated. But Mark Antony actually killed his assassin and pretty much took over the government. So the next phrase says, without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Now, he didn't do the vetoing. That is, Julius Caesar didn't do the vetoing. Mark Antony did the vetoing. But without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. The reproach still went back to Julius Caesar, even though Mark Antony was his agent, because they got tired now of a dictatorship. So they were tired of a Republican form of government. They got a dictatorship. They found out that that was a mistake. Hello, America. They found out that a dictatorship was a mistake, and they wanted to get rid of it, and it became a civil war. Brothers and sisters, we can learn a lot from history. You know, there was talk, is still some talk, of a civil war. You've got in America, where you've got an entire party standing behind Donald Trump. Okay, for the most part, I mean, you know, the majority of them, they still want him, the one who started the insurrection. They wanted him. They want him to be the next president. Okay. And please understand, I'm nonpartisan here. I'm just talking about where we are in America today. They want him to be the next president to drain the swamp that supposedly was supposed to be drained the first time. That's what they're hoping for. We can learn from Rome. The corruption in politics was not solved because of a strong dictator that came in and tried to drain the swamp. The people then turned against Julius Caesar, and he was assassinated. We're in a situation where there's multiple criminal indictments against Donald Trump. And I'm not here to say the Democrats are going too far or not going too far. I'm just telling you this is where we are in America right now today. And as we are here, and he's the front runner, he doesn't even need to go to the debates because he's so far ahead of everybody else in the polls. As a matter of fact, whenever they have a debate, he'll have something to counter the debate so he can draw attention away from the debate, and he'll have some rally somewhere. That's what's happening, brothers and sisters. So many are pushing for Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, to be indicted. No, he's already indicted. They're pushing for him to be prosecuted criminally. They've already succeeded in weakening his financial assets, which he inflated wrongfully to outdo his competition and get unfair loans from banks based on that, professed liquidity. And so he's already been deemed fraudulent in that way, but now they're pushing for criminal convictions. We're in trouble, brothers and sisters. I'm just helping you understand. Be much in prayer. America's not going to be the same in 2024. And we learn lessons, however. We can learn a lot of lessons from Rome. When they were corrupt in politics, they looked to a dictator to bail them out, and it made matters worse. So that it caused a civil war, and they still weren't happy because the protege of the dictator still won out, and they had to deal now with the leadership of Mark Antony. And that's where we are in Daniel 11. A lot of life lessons, a lot of lessons for us. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and close out. What is our theme? God is in control. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, I will do all my pleasure. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. All of these details were given to us hundreds of years before they actually happened to help us understand that we can trust God in what he says in Bible prophecy. We'll be back, and we'll be talking when we come back about the rise in myocarditis and other types of heart conditions, particularly among athletes, brothers and sisters. Why is it? Do we have any connection to COVID or the vaccines? I will tell you that they're pushing hard in science to say no, but it's not lining up. Even the mortician will tell you that. They find some very interesting things taking place when a person dies after being vaccinated and dying of a cardiovascular episode. We'll talk about that and share with you what science, what they're calling science and what it's saying, and you'll be able to make up your own mind. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless us now as we transition to wellness on the worship and wellness broadcast on this Sabbath morning. Help us to always be willing to hear the voice of God. Help us to overcome prejudice in every way. Help us not to be political and to favor Democrats or to favor Republicans, but to remember that Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Father, we understand that the Democrats want to teach us that a man can marry a man and that this corrupt sexual perversion should be what's on the ballot. They also want to teach that a woman can have an abortion, kill a life that you said, before I formed thee in the belly I knew thee. Before thou camest forth, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet. Oh, Lord, that's on the Democratic side. And on the Republican side, there's more tendencies toward supremacy of one race, tendencies toward overthrow of the government, tendencies toward the establishment of a dictatorship. Lord, we're in trouble. That's all we're saying. We're in trouble. And we're headed for troublous times. So we pray that you will help us, that we will gird ourselves and stop fighting the way the world fights and give our hearts to Christ and have the love of Jesus always in our lives, in our faces, in our walk. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, we'll take a little break and then we'll be back with a little talk about the rise in heart issues among athletes here in America. The Torso Song is next.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Enslaved, are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved, you can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. At this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
All right, everybody. God bless you. And then again this morning, we're talking now about the great rise that we have had in heart issues. And I want to read a little something from you. Before I do, I will tell you that if you want to get one version of what might be happening, you can go to Rumble. You won't find it on YouTube. You won't find it on Facebook, but you can go to rumble.com and look up Died Suddenly. Died Suddenly. It's a video documentary, Died Suddenly. In that particular video, it interviews morticians. And since the vaccines rolled out, the COVID vaccines rolled out, they were astounded, as they have been doing embalmings for 30, 40 years. They have never seen anything like what they describe, and they actually show on video where they'll, when they put the embalming fluid in, sometimes they'll run into blockages. And they have to go in and pull the blockage out, and they'll pull out this long, stringy blob of fatty-looking stuff. And they said they've never seen it. They don't know what it is. They've never seen it before in their entire history of their entire lives of embalming people. There has been a large rise. It's not reported, but there has been a rise in cardiac events, particularly cardiovascular events, cardiac events, myocarditis, so on and so forth. some of us, just to remind ourselves, because some of us are into sports. I'm not so much into sports, but I know that the somebody in the Buffalo Bills just, you know, collapsed, you know, on the field. Bronny James, the son of LeBron James, had a recent cardiac event. And there have been many, 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 many others that are not being reported. I saw some information about the rise, and it's just an astronomical rise of events. Enough so that there's information about it to try to debunk the theory that it comes from the COVID vaccine. So that's what you're going to see a lot of fact checkers saying: these events do not come from the COVID vaccine. So that means they're acknowledging that the events have taken place since COVID, okay? Here's a Yale study reveals insights into post-vaccine heart inflammation cases. Okay, this is from Yale News. It says, in a new study, Yale scientists have identified the immune signature of rare cases of myocarditis among those vaccinated against COVID-19 with mRNA vaccines. Okay, it says, and when I say rare, I mean, yeah, it's not 1 out of 10. It might not even be 1 out of 100. But brothers and sisters, myocarditis is so rare, it's rare anyway. And so when you have this, the rise, even though it still could be considered rare in that almost, we're not saying almost everybody who gets the vaccine gets myocarditis, but the rise in myocarditis is astronomical since the vaccine. And that's why they have to publish things like this. When the new COVID vaccines were first administered 2 years ago, public health officials found an increase in cases of myocarditis and inflammation of the heart muscle, particularly among young males who had been vaccinated with mRNA vaccines. This is Yale writing, so I've just established that. I didn't make this up, okay? It was unclear, however, what exactly was causing this reaction. In a new study, Yale scientists have identified the immune signature of these heart inflammation cases. These findings, published May 5 in the journal Science Immunology, rule out some of the theorized causes of the heart inflammation and suggest potential ways to further reduce the incident of a still rare side effect of vaccination, the author said. So at least they're admitting that it's a side effect of the vaccine. I think this is thus far, not too bad. Myocarditis is a generally mild inflammation of heart tissue, which can cause scarring, but is usually resolved within days. The increased incident of myocarditis during vaccination was seen primarily in males in their teens or early 20s who have been vaccinated with mRNA vaccines, which are designed to elicit immune responses specifically to the SARS-CoV-2 virus. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, among males aged 12 to 17, about 22 to 36 per 1,000 experienced myocarditis within 21 days after receiving a second vaccine dose. Now, what you would have to do, brothers and sisters, is find out what was the incidence per 1,000 before the vaccine. But anyway, they're admitting that there was a 22 to 36 per 100,000 experienced myocarditis. So that's 22 to 36 people out of 100,000. That's not a lot. But brothers and sisters, some of those people died, okay? 22 to 36 people out of 100,000. That's not a small thing. You could be one of those 22 to 36, okay? The incidence of myocarditis. Now, you have to understand where we're coming from, brothers and sisters. We wrote a book called The Biblical Booster, and all that we did, we just took what they were telling us and reminded you of that. What they told us was before the vaccines rolled out, they said if you are healthy, three things most likely will not happen. This came right out of the mouth of none other than Anthony Fauci, okay? I'm not against Anthony Fauci. I'm just telling you what he said. He said, and many others echoed what he said. He said, most likely, if you are healthy, you will not die, you will not get very ill, and you will not be hospitalized, most likely, if you are healthy. That was while they were preparing the vaccine. When they got the vaccines, they repeated it, but they said, if you're vaccinated, most likely you will not die, you will not get seriously ill, and you will not be hospitalized. So the biblical booster is not an anti-vaccination campaign. It's a campaign to boost the immunity of our global community. If, brothers and sisters, in a best case scenario, if in a best case scenario, all the vaccine could do is make us, because you didn't really hear what was said, masquerade as healthy people. Remember, if you're healthy, you wouldn't die. Most likely you wouldn't die, get sick, or be hospitalized. And if you're vaccinated, you wouldn't die, get sick, or be hospitalized, most likely. So all the vaccine can do is help you masquerade as a healthy person. That's in a best case scenario. But it just went right over our head. They told us the same thing would happen. So nobody was out here teaching us how to be healthy. And so, brothers and sisters, we came with the Live Free Lifestyle, showing you that if we love God, include temperance, get vital water, eat healthy, have fresh air, get rest, have exercise, and include and enjoy, rather, sunlight. That's Live Free. With a plant-based diet emphasis on a plant-based diet in the Eat Healthy section. We could stay healthy, and therefore we wouldn't need the vaccine, because all the vaccine can do is help us masquerade as a healthy person, and it has side effects, okay? And at that time, they didn't know all the side effects, but the one who created the technology was warning them. He had tried it in the past, and he said, this does not work. This is a bad idea to put this technology in a vaccine. But what did they do? They bypassed him, went to some people that would do it. Those people, they eventually just recently gave the Nobel Prize because they learned how to put this technology in vaccines, and it's killing people. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, among males aged 12 to 17, about 22 to 36% per 100,000 experienced myocarditis within 21 days after receiving a second vaccine dose. This is Yale talking here. The incidence of myocarditis was 50.1 to 64.9 cases per 100,000 after infection with the COVID-19 virus among males in this group. Now watch this. So that if you got COVID, okay, and what was the group? According to the Centers for Disease Control, among males 12 to 17, a 22 to 36 per 100,000 experienced myocarditis within 21 days after receiving a second dose. Then it says the incidence of myocarditis was 50 to 64 out of 100,000 after injection with COVID infection with COVID-19 virus among males. Now, here's what you got to realize. They're not bringing this out. Almost everybody who got vaccinated, more people who got vaccinated got COVID. I reported in the book, 8 out of 10 who got the Omicron variant, 8 out of 10 were fully vaccinated. That was NBC News. They were reporting from what the science was saying. A similar thing happened with Delta, and they had a Massachusetts study. It was just 1 out of every 5. Well, 1 out of every 5 is the same. I'm sorry, 4 out of every 5 is the same as 8 out of 10 who got Delta were vaccinated. So, brothers and sisters, the vaccine tended to be the super spreader of COVID. Based on that, out of those who got COVID, Omicron, 8 out of 10 were vaccinated. So now they're saying that if you were injected, I'm going to use a little poetry. If you were injected, it was 22 to 36 out of 100,000. And if you were then injected and infected, which most people who were injected were infected, okay, it rose to 50 to 64 out of 100,000, okay, after infection with COVID virus among males in this group. And that's the group the same group that had been injected. So injected and infected almost doubled your chances of getting myocarditis. For the new study, the Yale research team conducted a detailed analysis of the immune system response in those with rare cases of myocarditis among vaccinated individuals. The team was led by, tells who led the team. I'll go ahead and give you the name, Carrie Lucas, Associate Professor of Immunobiology, Akiko Iwasaki, Sterling Professor of Immunobiology, and Inki. Yildirim, Associate Professor of Pediatrics and Epidemiology. They found that the heart inflammation was not caused by antibodies created by the vaccine, but rather by a more generalized response involving immune cells and inflammation. Well, we already knew that both COVID and the vaccine causes a rise in inflammation. The immune system of these individuals get a little too revved up and overproduce cytokine and cellular responses, Lucas said. So that doesn't happen when you are just healthy. Early research has suggested that increasing the time between vaccination shots from 4 to 8 weeks may reduce the risk of developing myocarditis. And so it just goes on. It says, I hope this new, and then it says, Lucas noted that according to CDC findings, the risk of severe forms of myocarditis is greater in individuals who contract the COVID virus than in those who receive vaccines. Let me just repeat that. It says, Lucas noted that according to CDC findings, the risk of severe forms of myocarditis is greater in individuals who contract the COVID-19 virus than in those who receive vaccines. She emphasized that vaccination offers the best protection from COVID-19-related disease. That does not stand up because, brothers and sisters, we just showed you that more people who were vaccinated got COVID. And so you cannot, I'm sorry to say it, you cannot trust what the CDC is saying. Brothers and sisters, I got this in my book. It's in my book. It actually shows that when they were telling us or looking at deaths as it relates to the vaccine, I forgot exactly how I put it in the book, but there's a flaw in how they do it. In other words, the way the CDC labels you. Well, one thing I do know is that you're labeled as unvaccinated if you die. That's what it is. If you died and you were vaccinated, but you weren't fully vaccinated, they labeled you as unvaccinated. So then the death rate of the unvaccinated could be really, really high. That's CDC. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. That's CDC. I have the study in my book, brothers and sisters. You can go find it. They did a study, and they only studied unvaccinated versus vaccinated, and they labeled you as unvaccinated if you weren't fully vaccinated. So even that gave rise to the possibility that the vaccine could kill you, but you would be labeled as unvaccinated. And so, my friends, I'm just sorry to say, I'm not against the government in any way, shape, or form, brothers and sisters. I believe we should be civil, we should be righteous, we should be godly. But the Bible says, don't put your trust in man. So I'm here to tell you that there is a science that the Bible calls a science falsely so-called. And that's what we're dealing with. It's unfortunate. They tell you to follow the science, and then they would not give the science to a team of conscientious physicians who said, okay, give us the science. They were withholding it. They had to take them to, this is not conspiracy theory. This is now history. It wasn't well reported in the mainstream media, but brothers and sisters, they sued the FDA and Pfizer for withholding the science that they said we should rely on. And because they had filed a Freedom of Information Act request, FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request. They can't withhold information that's for the public's health, okay? And so they wouldn't give it over, so they had to sue the government. Can you imagine that? A few doctors had to sue the government and Pfizer for withholding this data that they said, folks, don't listen to these conspiracy theorists. Just follow the data. Follow the science. They said, give us the science. No, we're not going to give it to you. So they had to sue the federal government for the science. When the science came back, this is not conspiracy theory. This is not conspiracy theory. This is now fact. I have it in my book. It can be in your hands, brothers and sisters. And I'm not trying to sell my book on the Sabbath day. I'm just trying to tell you. You can see it. But it's actually out there. It's actually, I did it from research. You can find this information. One out of every 40 people, one out of every 40 people who took the Pfizer shot in a clinical trial was dead in 90 days. I'll repeat that. Approximately one out of every 40 people who took the Pfizer shot were dead in 90 days in the clinical trial. While that clinical trial was taking place, you can just go back. What did ABC tell us? What did NBC tell us? What did CBS tell us? What did Fox tell us? I don't know of all of them. I don't watch all of them. But I believe we were all told that it was safe. And the science that they were telling us, follow the science. And at that time, people were dropping like flies in the science. So my brothers and sisters, we're not anti-vaccination. We're just pro-live free. We don't focus on anti-vaccination. We focus on the biblical booster. So we believe that even vaccinated people, in other words, our campaign is not an anti-vaccination campaign. It is a campaign to boost the immunity of our global community. People can make their own decisions. Outside of Sabbath hours, we'll share that with you. Since I mentioned the book, I'll be sharing it with you. Or just contact me, those on Facebook who need to get this information, because, you know, I don't know whether I'll put it on Facebook or not. But the point being made, brothers and sisters, is that that which was condemned as conspiracy theory is now fact. And it was when this information came out, that they started lifting the mandates. They started letting you say more things about COVID on major platforms that had restricted you before, because the reality is the truth came out. Brothers and sisters, what am I trying to say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We would be better off. We would have been better off teaching the people in America, in Europe, in Asia, all around the world, how to get healthy and live free, than to poison the body with a toxin that's leading to all this inflammation. And by the way, it was proven, it's in my book, but now both Biden and the Trump administration have said this was a man-made virus that came from a lab in Wuhan. God is good. He reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets, not me. The prophets are in the Bible. God tells us that we can't trust man. We have to put our trust in him. I hope that this was a blessing for you, brothers and sisters. These messages, both on Daniel 11 and on how to take care of ourselves. Let's live free today. Want to invite you, before we close out, to our Sabbath service. We'll be talking about the plan of redemption in the male reproductive system. That's at 12 o'clock. We'll be posting a Facebook. Just going back to my timeline, we'll be posting a Facebook invitation. You can click on it, and we'll be talking about that. We're wrapping up a certification school to train an army of medical missionaries, certifying them as holistic biblical wellness coaches. And so while that school has been going on, we've been doing some special sermons on Sabbath. So we have two more today and next week. Today is the male reproductive system. The next week will be the female reproductive system, and we hope you're blessed by this. May God bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. Thank you very much for allowing us to serve you, allowing us to teach your word, allowing us to grow. We do pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide, and we pray that your will be done. As this is a Sabbath before our seven-day fast, Father, we just ask that you will bless us this week, that you will help us this week coming, that we will fast and pray and seek your face, and will have our prayers answered simply because we humbled ourselves before you to remove selfishness that hinders our prayers from being answered. Oh, Lord, we just ask for you to do mighty things in the lives of confined people, in the lives of sick people, in the lives of people in ministry, in the lives of broken homes, in the lives of people struggling on their jobs. In all of our lives, Father, we're asking for miracles to take place. And we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we'll see you all at 12. Our ID is 557-587-3947. And in small letters, T-O-R-S-O-E, torso with an E on the end, is our password. But you will get an invitation on Facebook. We'll send an invitation out to our WhatsApp list as well. And we wish you God's richest blessings today. At this time, we'd like to end with the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Special regards sent from Sister Maria to you all, and we both wish you a God-blessed Sabbath. At this time, our closing song, we'll wrap it up, and then we'll meet together at 12 for our service.
I will.